This is a BloomerBoomer.com podcast with host Andy Asher.
Well, hi, everyone. I hope your week is going well. Now, this is one of the most interesting podcasts yet here at Bloomer Boomer. The topic is Alzheimer's. Not a very pleasant one, as most would agree, but when someone can make it a fascinating and interesting story, well, it is really amazing. So with that buildup, stay with us and hear from a veteran and talented investigative newspaper reporter and magazine writer, Greg O'Brien, who turns his gaze onto himself in his memoir entitled On Pluto, Inside the Mind of Alzheimer's. And with the incredible reception, Greg, that your book has gotten, boy, I just appreciate you carving out the time. I've been wanting to talk to you.
Well, by way of background for your listeners, my maternal grandfather died of Alzheimer's, and my mother died of Alzheimer's. I was the family caregiver on Cape Cod for her, and she fought Alzheimer's in a bruising prize fight of a battle with this demon of a disease, and I had a front row seat for both. I noticed I'm 64 in my mid to late 50s. I started noticing the symptoms of Alzheimer's and horrific short-term memory loss, not recognizing people, familiar places, the rage, seeing things at times that weren't there, trouble with spatial distances, and then I fought it off, as my mother had taught me, and then I sustained a serious head injury. The dumbass that I am, I was riding a bicycle with my son without a helmet and going full speed, and got knocked off and thrown 30 feet in the air and landed on my head, which doctors say unmasked a disease in the making. And the symptoms worsened. It's almost like the pro football players that you hear about if you're predisposed to get dementia or Alzheimer's. Hits in the head can bring it on. And so I had the brain scans and the SPECT scans, and then the clinical tests, you know, which confirmed the diagnosis. And then I also had a gene test, which revealed that I carry one of the Alzheimer's marker genes, APOE4.
I know you're not a doctor, Greg, and you leave all the clinical answers to them, but let me just ask you a couple of questions maybe to help other people understand Alzheimer's better. You say you had a gene which gave you a tendency to possibly having Alzheimer's. How normal or abnormal is that?
Most people get Alzheimer's without it being inherited. In my case, it was. With respect to the genes, and it's been said to me that Alzheimer's is there's no one thing that triggers it. It's a combination of events. And if you think of the old justice scales in the old days where you had the left scale and the right scale, and let's say we're talking about the left scale, and okay, in my case, my maternal grandfather dies of Alzheimer's, the scale goes down. My mother dies of Alzheimer's, the scale goes down. I start the symptoms, the scale goes down. I had a serious head injury, the scale goes down. I had the brain scan, SPECT scan, and the clinical tests, and confirm a diagnosis, and the scale goes down. And then I have the APOE4, and the scale goes down, and the doctors basically say, you're not getting out of this. So it's a combination of events. And one of the things that my book on Pluto, Inside the Mind of Alzheimer's, recently released, and it's available right now on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, my website on Pluto.org, be in bookstores soon, but you can get it right away if anyone is interested. It is not a misery memoir. It's a book about living with Alzheimer's, not dying with it. The dying part comes later. And what I'm trying to stress in the book, having watched my mother and my grandfather and knowing the symptoms, Alzheimer's is a death in slow motion. It's like having a sliver of your brain shaved every day. And all of us, including me, we in life love to do the drive-by diagnosis. So we don't respond to anyone until we see them in a nursing home and we say, oh, that's too bad, they're 85 years old, they don't know who they are, and they're going to die. Well, Alzheimer's can start 5 years, and people can Google this, 5 years or longer before it's detected, and can run its course for 20 years. And there are millions of people who have horrific symptoms like me, who are still able to work at some level, who are fighting these symptoms every day, and we're in the early and mid stages. And not that there's any connection, but it reminds me in some ways of the horrific disease MS. You don't start out in a wheelchair, you end up there. And you don't start out in Alzheimer's in a nursing home, you end up there. And until this country understands that there are millions of people who are suffering, and since I've written the book, I've had scores of people who've been diagnosed with early onset come up and hug me and cried and said, thank you for speaking out. And good example how the disease works. At times, 30% of my short-term memory is gone in 30 seconds. I regularly now don't recognize people, including my wife the other day after church. Been married 37 years. Often in familiar places, I don't know where I am. I see things that aren't there. The doctors call it misperception. And if you look at symptoms, it's really hallucination. Tremendous rage when at times I pick up a phone and don't remember how to dial, or pick up my lawn sprinkler on Cape Cod and not know what it does and throw it against a tree to smash it in a million pieces because I'm in rage. Because in the early and the start of the mid stage, you kind of know what's going on, but Alzheimer's is like a, as I said in my book, a plug in a loose socket. And you know, think of yourself in a living room, you're going to sit down and read a great book, and at night and the light starts to blink and you get a little annoyed, and the plug is loose, and so you push the plug back in and it blinks again and you're a little more annoyed, and you push the plug back in, and then you got to push it back in, and then after a while the plug falls out and you put the plug back in, and then it falls out again, and pretty soon you can't put the plug back in because the light goes dark. And that's, in layman's terms, kind of a word picture of what Alzheimer's is at the early stages, moving toward the middle.
So, Greg, you were diagnosed at age 59 that you had Alzheimer's. Do you care to share with our audience as to how you've been able to fight through all of this?
You know, anyone who wants to know the horrific symptoms can look them up and we can talk about it. I'd rather talk about strategies than a train wreck. The train wreck will come at some point. First of all, I would urge people who have any sense of cognitive impairment or any history of Alzheimer's in their families or anyone who knows someone to encourage exercise. It's very important. Exercise the body and exercise the brain. I try to work out every day, and I try to write every day, and that's very important. Secondly, with me, and we're all different, I can't survive without my faith, humor, and hope. And you know, I'm not here to proselytize, but I have a strong belief in the Lord. You know, as I said, I was raised Irish Catholic, and I'm probably what you might call an evangelical Catholic now, but as I've told people, don't tell my relatives in Dublin because they'll stone me. and so I wouldn't survive without my faith and humor. You have to learn to have humor and find the silver lining. And you know, as I said, don't let the bastards get you down. And I have this saying, I use an expletive in my book, which I won't hear, but you could fill the blanks, and I basically say these demons don't know who they're screwing with. And every day, try to get up and fight, but the strategies are such that you can't live with that. See, it's a, you know, here's the deal. you know, in time, I feel like I'm in a race, and I'm running against this demon that's going to catch me, the boogeyman. But I was a jock all my life, so I'm going to keep running until the boogeyman passes me, takes me out. But you have to every day get up with strategies when it's in a 24/7 fight, and so it's exhausting. And I feel my brain is like a file cabinet. I'm an old school guy, and so it's like someone went into my brain and ransacked my files. And every morning I got to put the file cabinet back. The who, where, what, when, why, and how of my life before I get up and I go to the bathroom. And I've had to at times label the toothpaste because I reach for something else, or in the mouthwash. There's one time I've told people this, and I've written about it. I gargled with rubbing alcohol, and let me tell you, I wouldn't recommend it. It's not a mini taste, and that was a joke, and you can laugh.
Okay, thank you.
it sucks. But I've always said, God bless Steve Jobs. You know, I have my MacBook Pro and my iPhone, and these are devices that they're my brain today, and you'll never see me without them. Taking notes, emailing myself, sending texts, and constant reminders for the short term. The long term in Alzheimer's is usually pretty decent for a while, but then the Alzheimer's will work over time to break down the body. And that's why you gotta keep yourself in shape. I mean, sometimes the brain signals don't go down. The doctors have looked at it, and they can't find any other reason other than brain signals aren't traveling. But I haven't had feelings in parts of my hands and feet for 3 years, intermittently. And so you just make a decision that, here's a saying, and I didn't say this, but I've used it as a quote. Anyone who doesn't think they're going to die someday, please raise your right hand. So if you have a choice in how you're going to go out, I just know the ending of my book before I read the last chapter. You just try to walk in faith and humor and hope, and, you got to strip yourself naked, and you learn from that.
And Greg, all of us have had one of those stupid, forgetful moments where we laugh at ourselves and say it was one of those senior moments. But let me ask you seriously, when should we start taking notice of that?
Well, I would say this, and again, I wrote about it in my book, and I know people are just turning in and they're interested. It's in bookstores soon. It may be there now, but you can get it on Amazon, barnesandnoble.com, and my website on pluto.org. But there's a difference between losing your keys and not knowing you have keys. There's a difference between not remembering where you parked your car and not knowing that you have a car. Good example, in recent times, on the Cape, we take our garbage to the dump. It's kind of a rite of passage there. And social engagement, I guess. But So I was at the town dump, and I turned around and I said, "Whoa, I got to call my wife. How do I get home? Well, I guess I'll have to walk." And I was looking straight at, I drive a freaking yellow Jeep. It's right in front of me. But my mind just totally, its synapse, it just totally disengaged, and I didn't know that I had a car. And those are some of the troubling signs. So what I would suggest, if anyone is concerned about it, and it's okay to do so, because you're not given in, you're just getting ready for a fight, you can get a clinical cognitive test. Go do that. And I'm on a lot of medication. There's a lot of things. Again, this is a disease that's going to take out this baby boom generation. It's going to outstrip cancer and heart disease sevenfold in short years to come. It's going to be the number one killer, but you can live with it for periods of time, and we're all going to die someday. So anyone who's listening, please don't give up. Realize that there are a lot of things that you can still do, and in some ways your life may be richer. I know that sounds nutty, but I believe in some ways this disease has blessed me.
And Greg, 15 or 20 years ago, it seems we didn't hear nearly as much about Alzheimer's and dementia. Maybe it's because so many well-known people have been diagnosed with it, but what do you make of the reason for that?
Well, first is basic math. We have the biggest bubble, the baby boomers of the population ever, who are now living longer. Secondly, what appears to be Alzheimer's, so it wasn't named then, dates back to the time of Pluto and Aristotle, who wrote about it. It's just that in the early 1900s, someone put a name on it based on a doctor who came up with the diagnosis. Thirdly, I believe, what do I know? I mean, I'm a writer, not a scientist, but I believe there could be a lot of environmental factors that affect this, the onset of this disease. And, I think we're seeing that in other areas. That would not surprise me.
Something that struck me earlier in our interview here that you said, Greg, was the importance that you found is in exercise.
Exercise your body and exercise your brain. And exercise to the point where you just won't give up. I mean, as I said before, in Alzheimer's, the body starts to break down. And recently I was also diagnosed with acute spinal stenosis and scoliosis and degeneration of my spine. And I said, screw that. I'm going back to the gym. And I put the treadmill up to 15 and I crank it up to about 5'2", 6'2". And I it's like walking upstairs. It still hurts, but there's no crunch on my back, and I do my miles that way.
And we hear different words to describe it, whether it's dementia or Alzheimer's. Can you put that into perspective for us just a little bit, Greg?
Dementia is the umbrella, and Alzheimer's is the most common form of dementia. And there are all these names, but at the end of the day, it's the same thing. It's a loss of self, and all of them are just as devastating. And all of them deserve the same recognition.
So, Greg, I'm sure, much like yourself, if any of us were diagnosed with Alzheimer's, we'd want to hold out some hope that maybe there's some research that shows some promise. What have you learned about that?
They are making progress. There are many organizations. One in particular I'm familiar with is the Cure Alzheimer's Fund of Boston. Cure Alzheimer's is some of the leading experts in Alzheimer's care and Alzheimer's research, and there are others that are looking to find cures. But their website, by the way, is cureals.org. The Alzheimer's associations are across the country are doing tremendous work. Universities, but. And there are people who we all like to simplify because we feel better if we stereotype, and just like we've stereotyped what Alzheimer's is, and we've kind of missed it because we just got one stage in the stereotype. But there are all sorts of these other suggestions on how to cure it, and some of the fish oil, coconut oil, all of which I would suggest people read about, but. The bottom line is they don't have a cure right now. It's a very complicated process of breaking the brain down. That's going to take far more research. The research for Alzheimer's compared to cancer and all these other horrific diseases, which totally need this type of research, is minuscule. I also have prostate cancer, and I'm not treating it. Made a decision with my family and my doctors because I know the progression of this disease and I know how far away we are from a cure, and I don't want my wife and children to see me in that final stage, and we're just a long way away.
Greg, as we wind up here, maybe we can just touch upon the family and loved ones and how to help and work with Alzheimer patients? You know, any advice or insights on that part of it?
Well, first of all, I would say anyone out there who is a caregiver, about to be a caregiver, or without realizing it might be someday, and the experts have said in 25 years there'll be two types of people, those with Alzheimer's and those caring for someone with Alzheimer's. The caregivers are the real heroes. Of course, the doctors are heroes, the nurses are heroes, the medical practitioners are all heroes, but the caregivers are the front line, and their memory, unlike someone with Alzheimer's, doesn't fade. Those memories of a loved one are burned inside their memories, and tremendous strain. And these individuals need so much support from others. And, you know, they can succumb to depression. They can succumb to, you know, financial distress. And so we need to lift up our caregivers. And that's our first line. It's a war. And they're the Marines, okay? I don't know why I just thought of that, but they're the Marines or the Navy SEALs. And we need to support them. Families, my family, we've gotten a lot closer. And, you know, just collectively, we need to raise up and shake our fist, but it also gives us an opportunity to walk in faith and hope and humor. And I think we're all going to a better place someday, and that's just me, my point of view.
Greg, thanks so much. It's been fascinating.
Thank you, and I said before, it's because people have always asked me. It's on Amazon, on BarnesandNoble.com, and on Pluto.org, my website, and be in bookstores soon.
We'll follow you along and hopefully get some updates from you.
All right. God bless you. Call me anytime.
Thanks, Greg.
Thanks for listening to our BloomerBoomer.com podcast. We provide transcripts for most of our podcasts, and you can also access all of our podcasts on iTunes. Oh, and we encourage you to leave a comment in the podcast reply section. Thanks again.